Alright, you may doubt evolution, but the last time there was a lunar eclipse on the winter solstice, Majora?
Yes.
Was when Galileo was actually in jail for claiming that the Earth revolved around the sun.
Oh, that'll do it.
Back in 1638. And, I mean, how annoying must it have been for Galileo, who could look out his window and go, dudes,
look,
hey, check it
see,
out.
See, check it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you got up this morning at about 3:15, as we have to do here on The Takeaway, and looked out and it was clear, you could see the moon blotted out by the shadow of something, yep, called the Earth. And it was a crazy brown kind of misty color that was veiling the moon if you
beautiful
watched the total
orangey of it. Yeah. Kinda. It was gorgeous.
And to talk about why it was beautiful and orangey and what that actually means, we've got Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and director of the Hayden Planetarium here in New York City. Neil, good morning.
Happy to have you. I'm on a cell phone, so watch out for that.
That's all right. That's okay. Did you see the eclipse this morning?
Yes, I did. I set my alarm for – I didn't want to see it from the very beginning because it's really boring when it starts. So I went in for where the action began, which was at about 2:30, 40 Eastern time.
Yeah, well, I was brushing my teeth at around that time. Cameron Hummels, what were you doing?
I was up throughout the boring parts. We had an event at Columbia University going where we invited people from the public to come up and check out the view and look through some of our telescopes and such.
And Cameron Hummels is a PhD student at Columbia University's Astronomy Department and Director of Public Education for the Astronomy Department. Neil, what is the significance of a lunar eclipse? It says something about the oddities of our solar system, don't you think?
Well, I think the first question one should ask is, why don't we get a lunar eclipse every full moon? Because it's just the Earth coming, the moon coming around the backside of the Earth, and that it does that every cycle. And it turns out that the moon does not orbit the Earth exactly on the line where we that the sun takes, right? And so because that is not the case, most of the time the moon misses Earth's shadow in space, and the shadow is always out there. It's just no reason, there's no occasion to recognize it or to identify it until something that's lit up moves into it, and that's just what happened last night. And that, by the way, happens about every couple of years, every two to three years. So people have been trying to make it sound rarer than it is by saying, oh, it hasn't happened since Galileo, 1638, hasn't happened on the solstice since Galileo. But you know, if you pick any other random day of the year, you'd get just as many years back since it hasn't happened, like Groundhog Day or your birthday. So you want to know, if you miss this eclipse, wait, next year there's two more.
Yeah, yeah, but you got to admit, I mean, for astrophysicists, the coincidence of the solstice and the lunar eclipse is kind of cool, right?
If you're a solstice worshiper, then you waited that long to get a lunar eclipse on your solstice. So, sure, it's cooler to land on the solstice than on, you know, December 14th. I'll take it.
Or if you're a student at Columbia University's astronomy department, it's a great excuse to throw a party. What was it like, yeah, Cameron?
Oh, it was great. We had a few hundred people turn out. It's the height of finals week right now at Columbia, so a lot of students are staying in the library. It's open 24 hours, and we went through and announced that there was this study break going on, and people could come out, get hot cocoa, and check out the views. And it was great. There was even at some point some of the students started doing a countdown at some arbitrary time, saying, you know, 10, 9, 8, even though, I don't know, there was nothing going on at that particular moment. These things don't tend to be very fast-paced.
At all, right.
Well, as Neil said, it's the boring part.
Yeah, people were excited about it.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of the qualities of the eclipse this time around is the color that the Earth's shadow casts the moon in, which says something about the state of our own atmosphere, correct?
Yes, indeed it does. And in fact, I tweeted this morning on the spot that it reminded me of grade A dark amber maple syrup. And that was about the hue that it had taken on, not less red than that kind of deep amber. And I don't know if I was just hungry for pancakes or not, but that was certainly the color. And I've seen many a lunar eclipse in my day. Throughout most of my childhood, these eclipses were deep red. And then as I got older, they were very dark. And so what's going on is, if you can imagine watching this from the moon, you would see the sun, and then this dark thing, Earth, would pass between you and the sun, completely blotting out the sun. But then what you see next is you see refracted sunlight coming through the atmosphere, making a ring in the sky. And the color of that ring is the color that we see reflected back to us from the moon here on Earth.
Huh.
And so if we see the moon as this deep maple syrup color, that's what the ring around Earth would have looked like from the moon. And all kinds of things affect that. Is there volcanic ash up in the stratosphere? Are there dust storms from the Sahara? What's the state of pollution? How about the volcanoes? You know, we've had a couple of volcanoes in Europe, or at least in Iceland, in recent months. So these sort of conditions affect what the sort of dispersive properties of the light will be upon coming through the atmosphere and then leaking into the shadow, allowing us to see the eclipsed moon.
That's Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and director of the Hayden Planetarium. Neil, thanks so much for spending the morning with us.
Happy to be with you. I'm glad to hear you have a student from Columbia. That's where my PhD is from. So I feel a special connection here on this show. And great to have you guys.
So I'll direct the last question to Cameron Hummels then. As a PhD student at Columbia University's astronomy department, in Galileo's day, looking at the eclipse, would we have expected a much different color because it's a less polluted Earth?
That's a good question, but probably not. I mean, most of the particulate matter in the upper atmosphere that's causing this sort of thing is by natural causes. It's due to volcanic ash or sandstorms or whatnot. So, unfortunately, it wouldn't have been too different for Galileo than it is for us today.
All right. On the shortest day of the year, talking with Cameron Hummels, PhD student at Columbia University's Astronomy Department, commenting on the total eclipse of the moon. The next celestial event is just the boring sunrise, I guess. Cameron, thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.